Let's pray. Living God, we come into your presence this morning, and we pray that you will gather in with us by your Spirit. Lord God, we come to hear your word, for it is living and it is true. We long that Christ may be revealed this morning in our midst. For apart from Christ, we are and have nothing. We pray, living God, that you would speak to our hearts through your word, and that we would know that we have met with you this day. That your name would be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for the invitation to come and lead in this chapel meeting this morning, and I trust that the Lord will bless us as we do so. We read together from the Word of God, not from just a passage that you have in front of you, but I want to read from the 33rd verse of the 13th chapter of John's Gospel. This is the living Word of God, and I ask you to give your attention to it now. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I have said to the Jews, so now I also say to you. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love or have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow afterwards. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the cock will not crow till you have denied me three times. Let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. There we end the reading of God's word. Most of us live fairly mundane, ordinary lives. It's routine. Get up in the morning, get your breakfast, have a wash, depending on your gender. Then you go to whatever you have to do, trying not to sleep your way through it. One day follows the next. Nothing really changes until someone comes into your life and they smile at you, and then maybe they do change for a while. But sometimes something happens in life which is extraordinary. It's a critical moment in your life, an occasion which breaks through the fog of routine. It's exceptional. It's critical. It's a serious season that demands your attention. You can't avoid it. You can't neglect it. You can't ignore it. It's there. It's before you. It draws your attention. Much as I wish I could draw your attention now, it draws your attention. It demands that you look. It demands that you see. It demands that you hear. These verses that I've just read to you from the living Word of God speak of such an event in the life of Jesus Christ. In fact, these words speak of the last great critical event in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. For these address the final hours of His life. Not everyone in life gets an opportunity to know when they're going to die. Some people die in an instant without thinking about it. There was a road safety campaign in the United Kingdom about 6 months ago, and it showed a video of a man riding a motorbike along a road. His relatives have given permission for him to use this video. There's a vehicle sitting in front of him. It turns across the path in front of him, and all you hear is, "Oh no!" And that's it. "Oh no," were the last words that he ushered. And then you see from his head cam him flying across the road, and that is the end of his life. One moment, heading out to his destiny, and the next moment, he is thrust into eternity. Not everyone has an opportunity to consider the last hours of their lives. Sometimes you do have an opportunity. 2 weeks ago, my sprightly 86-year-old mother-in-law fell and broke her collarbone. We didn't think really much of it. She had achieved a lot in her life. She was the sort of lady who had learned how to drive when she was 60 years of age. So it shows you the caliber of who she was. And then the hospital did brain scans, found that she had 2 brain tumors. They said she had 2 months to live. Last week, they said she had a few weeks to live. And the news is she'll probably die today or tomorrow. Now, my wife and I discussed that before I would come, and we decided that if she did die, that I would remain here. I would rather be with her and my wife. But there are responsibilities that need to be fulfilled. Jesus Christ here is entering the last days of his life. And here he comes to these events. And he's announcing a departure. It's not a departure like he has announced before. There were occasions in Jesus' life when he went off to the Father to pray, when he went off on his own. But the disciples always knew that he was coming back. But there's something here in the words that he speaks. There's something in the intonation of his voice. There's something in his facial expression that gives them a sense of he's not coming back. And that's why they clamor and say to him, "Where are you going? Can we not go with you?" It's not a case of, "Well, we'll see you tomorrow again after you've gone off and been with the Father." They know that there's something in his voice that is clearly communicating to them that they're not going to see him again. And they are deeply troubled. That's why Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. Believe also in God." And then Jesus makes this statement. It's surely the most astonishing of all the statements that Jesus ever made during his life. It's a statement which contains and declares a startling observation. An observation that is unique about himself and mankind. This is a statement which the whole of the Old Testament is leading up to. It's a statement out of which all of the New Testament flows. It's a concise statement. It's a distinct statement. It's an important statement. It's an audacious statement. And it's a true statement. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I want you to consider first the importance of this statement made by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Every day in our lives, we converse with people. We speak to them, they speak to us. Some ask us questions, some comment. Some give us their opinion. Sometimes we don't really want to hear other people's opinion, but we take it because we're supposed to love. Sometimes they make statements. But do you always listen to everything that everybody says to you with the same degree of intensity? Do you always sit with your ears perked to hear what the person is saying? How do you grade what people say to you? What do you really listen to and what just goes over your head as part of the normal noise of everyday life? Well, I think there are two things that we use as human beings to grade whether we listen to someone or not. The first is, who is it that's speaking to me? Who is the person? How important are they in my life? What sense of authority do they have? I was traveling here this morning, being driven from outside Beaver Falls, and there was a lady in an orange suit, and we came up to a stop sign, and she waved us through. I asked the person that was driving why she had the right to wave us through, and he said, well, she works for the fire department. There's a local school nearby, and she directs the traffic at this time in the morning. She had an authority to wave us through. It was because of who she is and what she represents. We listen to people and what they have to say, depending on how we perceive their authority. If one of your contemporaries says something to you about having to go somewhere, you'll stand and look at them and make a judgment on whether you want to go or not. But if the president of the college gets up and asks you to do something, you're not going to stand whimsily looking at his face thinking, will I listen to what you have to say or not? Will I do it tomorrow? I hope I'm not enduring him with any less power than what he has. The other thing we listen to is what someone has to say. We listen to people on the basis of whether what they're saying to us is something that is really, really important. We allow a lot of information to go out. We just listen on the basis of whether we want to hear it or not. Just as some of you are not really listening to me this morning because you don't really think what I have to say is important. And I understand that. As far as you can say, this guy with a strange accent, he really doesn't have anything to say to me that's of any real importance. So I'm not really listening to him. I'd rather just sit and listen to someone else or talk to my friend or doing something else. That's your personal prerogative. That's what you do. That's what I do. We listen based on what we think of the person, and we listen based on what we think of the value or the merit of what they have to say. Who is Jesus Christ that is speaking to us here? Who is this man that addressed us this morning and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Well, if you had the Word of God to the first chapter of John's Gospel, it says there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that has been made. Speaking of the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning. Nothing has been made on the earth that you see, including yourself. Nothing has been made that wasn't made by this Word. And who is the Word that John tells us about in John's Gospel, chapter 1? It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is the Word? The Word is none other than Jesus Christ. So here we have Jesus Christ was with God in the beginning. Jesus Christ was there when God spoke and the heavens and the earth were created. Jesus Christ declared that the world would have light and the world would have darkness, and the world had light and the world had darkness. And in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, and Jesus Christ was present as God at the creation of the heavens and the earth. He says, I am. In Exodus chapter 3, God appears to Moses in a bush that was burning but not consumed. And he says to Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and I want to use you to draw you out. Draw out my people. And Moses says, but who am I? Why will they listen to me? And he says, in response to Moses' question, what is his name and what shall I say to him? He says, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And God said, this say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Here is Jesus Christ, and he's saying, I am, I am, I am God. So what I'm saying to you today from the Word of God is coming to you from God Himself. It's coming to you from God Himself. It's coming to you from God Himself. It is coming to you from God Himself. I am is addressing you. There is no greater authority will address you today on this campus than I am. There is no greater authority will address you during every day of the rest of your existence than I am. You will never hear other than I am speaking to you from His Word when His Word is opened up and spoken to you. Now you judge for yourself whether you think that it's worth your while listening to who I am has to say to you today. And what of the subject? What does Jesus Christ speak about? He is an authoritative voice because He is God. He has made your life and He holds your life in the palm of your hands. You live and breathe because He gives you breath. The days of your life are numbered according to His decree. As my mother-in-law was told on Saturday night that she wouldn't have long to live, she asked the consultant, will I die tonight? And he said, I don't think you'll die tonight. Then she said to him, but I know that the Lord knows when I will die. What of the subject? Well, Jesus is speaking here of the need for Him to go to heaven. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many rooms. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is not the figment of any man's imagination. When the apostles stood and looked up into the heavens as Jesus ascended, they saw Him go into heaven. As Stephen was being stoned by the crowd in Acts 6, he said he looked into heaven and what did he see? He saw Jesus at the right hand of God in heaven. Heaven is the dwelling place of the glory of God. Heaven is where Jesus Christ looks upon us this day. As you sit here listening to me this morning, Jesus Christ sees you at this present moment in time, whether you're intensely listening, whether you're playing on your phone, whether you're talking to your friend, Jesus Christ sees you from heaven. He sees your thoughts. He sees your heart. He understands exactly what you think of what you're hearing at this present moment in time. Your thoughts are not exclusive to yourself because Jesus, who is in heaven, understands and He sees all things. And so this is an important statement for us. This is a statement about the reality of our eternity. Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth. And Jesus is speaking here about heaven and away to heaven. Look at the audacity of what Jesus says. Look at the audacity of his words. Note what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, I am offering you a way to heaven. He doesn't say, I am offering you one way to heaven. He doesn't say, I'm offering you the best way to heaven. He says, I'm offering you the way to heaven. It's completely exclusive. It's completely exclusive. In our Western culture today, we don't like exclusivity. We need to tell people that they are not excluded. They're all included. It's absolute and utter nonsense. There's always been inclusion and exclusion. This idea that in our culture today, everybody has to be included is an utter fallacy. People live a life in which they don't face reality because they're told that which is not the truth. Men who say they believe in God will stand up and tell people that it doesn't matter which way you get to heaven, as long as you get to heaven, it doesn't matter the journey that you make. They say that because they love people. They don't love people. They hate people. Love is to tell you the truth. You know that yourself. You know the people that you genuinely like and appreciate are not people who soft soap you, are not people who always tell you what you want to hear. Your real friends, are they not the people who will gently and lovingly say to your face and not behind your back what the truth is? You hear from them what the reality is. You don't go to your neighbor or your friend. You don't hear it on campus from somebody else who's heard it from somebody else. Who's heard it from somebody else, who's heard it third hand, what they think of you. You love people and you respect people because they love you enough to look into your own eyes and to speak to you as a human being who loves you, and they tell you the truth. And the truth is, there is only one way under heaven by which any of us can get into heaven. There's only one way. There is no other name under heaven. And I don't care what you think today. This is the truth, because the one who is speaking is I Am. The one who is speaking is the living Lord God Almighty. And what he's talking about is the subject of heaven and eternity. And when I Am says there is only one way, I Am means there is only one way. You and I don't always say what we mean. We look at each other often and we say, I'm not going to really say what I think. I'll give you a sense of what I think because I'm sort of afraid of how you may react. And then we may get round to it in the end. One thing you can take about the living God is he always tells us the truth. He always speaks as God. What you see in the Word of God is the Word of God. That's why the Word of God is so powerful. That's why when men attack the Word of God today, they cause it a great, gross disservice. That's why your hearing of the Word of God is the single most important thing in your life, because it is the only source of truth that there is. And when the I Am says to you this morning, there is only one way, one single, solitary way, there is no other way, I Am means that. He means it. He means it. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Do you think that God sent a son into the world, his only son? Do you think that God laid the punishment due to his people on his son for a joke? Do you think that he didn't mean it? Do you think when he looked at his son on the cross and his son turned and he turned his back on his son and his son said, "Where are you?" Do you think there's some other way? Do you think that there's some other way in heaven and on earth by which you can come to experience eternal life? Do you think there's some other way in which you think you can come and know what it means to be prepared for eternity? Do you think that there's some other way in which your sin can be atoned for? Do you think there's some other way which you think your sin can be paid for? Do you think there's some other way by which you can be made righteous and holy to enter into heaven? Do you think that your sin can be paid for by yourself? Do you think your sin can be paid for by your righteousness? Do you think your sin can be paid for by your good deeds? Do you not read the Word of God? Do you not realize the Word of God says that there is no one good, no, not one? Do you not think that when God says that, He means that? Do you not think when God says, "I loved you so much that I gave my only beloved Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish," that God actually meant that? Do you think He was just speaking to fill the Word of God with a few verses? The audacity of it. There is only one way, no other name under heaven by which you may experience eternal life. Do you understand that? Do you get it? Most importantly, do you believe it? For if you do not believe it, you have no hope. Finally, this important statement, because of who speaks it and the subject, is an audacious statement because of its exclusivity. But I want you to note that it is the truth. This verse, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," this verse will never be rewritten. This verse will never change. This verse is never going to be altered. There's never going to be a day in the history of the world when God will come along and say to us, "Do you remember you sat in chapel that day and that guy with that accent came over? And he stood there and he talked about God. And he talked about Jesus Christ. And he talked about Jesus Christ as being the only way to heaven. Do you remember that day well? Do you know what? He got it wrong because I got it wrong. When I wrote, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life,' I wasn't actually aware of all that was going on in the world. I needed to know more about what the world had to say to me. I needed to see more about what men thought about me. I needed to work out and see and understand history. And as I've observed the history of the world, I've seen that the reality is that not everybody loves Jesus the way that I thought they might love Jesus the way that I love Him. And so because I want a lot of people in heaven who don't love Jesus, I'm going to have to rewrite that verse. In fact, I'm going to have to rewrite a number of verses. In fact, I'm going to have to rewrite most of the Bible. And what you heard that day and what you took from that day, I want you to set it to the side. I want you to park it. I don't want you to think about it anymore, because the reality of the fact is that what was said that day no longer pertains to reality. That day is never going to come. That day is never going to come. There's never going to be a day when Jesus Christ will say, I am not the way, the truth, and the life. There's never going to come a day when Jesus Christ says, I am not the only way of salvation. It's never going to happen. It's never, ever going to happen. It's never going to happen. Until the day you die, Jesus will be the only way, the only truth, and the only life. There is no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. And I would commend this Jesus to you. I would commend him to you because of who he is, because of the subject, and because of the truth of what he says. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And I want to thank those of you who have sat and listened this morning attentively. I want to thank those of you who, as I've spoken the Word of God, have prayed that those who are sitting around you would hear this. I want to thank you for your attention. I want to thank you that by the mercy and grace of God, you believe in this and this truth. And I look forward to seeing you one day in one of those rooms that the Father has gone to prepare for us. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that what he said is true. We thank you for his life and his death. We thank you that he offered him up himself as the only satisfactory sacrifice for sin. And we pray, Lord God, that you would speak to all our hearts this day. We pray that those of us who believe this and love the Lord, we pray that you would encourage us by this. And for those in our midst whose minds, whose eyes and ears have been elsewhere, we pray, Father, that you would be merciful and gracious to them and that you would draw them by your electing love and cause them to think about those words that they have heard from I Am this morning. These words of eternal consequence, we pray, Father, that you would open up their hearts this day to ponder these things in a quiet moment. When they're on their own, wherever they are, we pray, Father, that suddenly it may strike them that what was said this morning from I Am is true. And that you might cause them to seek your face and to cry to you for mercy. And be born again of the Spirit of God. And this day taste the reality of new life in Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.